The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter number 9, text number 15, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 14th, 2010, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we're going to go even deeper into the wonderful world of Krishna consciousness. This is the amazing thing about Krishna consciousness. The deeper you go, the sweeter it gets. And there's no end to the depth. It just keeps getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter for all of eternity. What could be better than this? There's nothing in the material world that even comes close. So today we're reading from the 5th canto, 9th chapter, text number 15. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Atapanayastang sva vinana visichchaya hatena vasasa chadya bhushana lepya shrak tilakadi birupaskritam bhuktva vantam dupadipa Malalaja kilasaya yankura palopaharo petaya vaishasa sanshaya mahatagita stuti medangar panava koshena chapurusha pashumbadrakalya purita upavesha yam asu. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. After this, all the thieves, according to their imaginative ritual for killing animalistic men, and bathed Judd Bharat, dressed him in new clothes, decorated him with ornaments befitting an animal, smeared his body with scented oils, and decorated him with tilak, sandalwood pulp, and garlands. They fed him sumptuously and then brought him before the goddess Kali, offering her incense, lamps, garlands, parched grain, newly grown twigs, sprouts, fruits, and flowers. In this way, they worshiped the deity before killing the man-animal. And they vibrated songs and prayers and played drums and bugles. Judd Bharat was then made to sit down before the deity. Purport. In this verse, the word sva-vinina, according to their own ritualistic principles, is very significant. According to the Vedic Shastras, everything must be done according to regulative principles, but here it is stated that the thieves and rogues devise their own process for killing an animalistic man. The Tamasic Shastras give instructions for the sacrifice of an animal like a goat or buffalo before the goddess Kali. There is no mention of killing a man, however dull he may be. This process was manufactured by the dacoits themselves, and therefore the word sva-vinina is used. Even at this time, there are many sacrifices being conducted without reference to the Vedic scriptures. For instance, in Calcutta recently, a slaughterhouse was being advertised as a temple of the goddess Kali. Meat eaters foolishly purchase meat from such shops, thinking it different from ordinary meat, and taking it to be the prasad of goddess Kali. The sacrifice of a goat or similar animal before the goddess Kali is mentioned in the Shastras, just to keep people from eating slaughterhouse meat and becoming responsible for the killing of animals. The conditioned soul has a natural tendency towards sex and meat eating. Consequently, the Shastras grant some concessions. Actually, the Shastras aim at putting an end to these abominable activities, but they impart some regulated principles so that gradually meat eaters and sex hunters will be rectified.
Vandeham. Shri Guru, Shri Jata, Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Zavadutam Prijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, is this authorized what these dacoits are doing? Even though there are principles stated in the Puranas, for low-class men to slaughter a goat or a cow, a goat or a buffalo, before the goddess Kali. There is no injunction for slaughtering a man. They have concocted their own thing. Not authorized. You can't offer a human being to goddess Kali. Even a dull man animal. There's no such injunction. So, this is the problem nowadays. Instead of following the standard Shastric injunctions, we want to concoct our own lifestyle based on satisfying our senses. We may think that we're getting some pleasure by doing this, because that's what the material society tells us. They say, if you smoke this, you will be happy. If you drink this, you will be happy. They say that things go better with Coca-Cola. But simply, this is propaganda, you see. That you enjoy all, you do these various things and you'll be happy. They're just trying to get our money, that's all. So we should not take our directions on happiness from people who are trying to exploit us. We should take our directions on how to achieve happiness by taking help from those persons who truly want to serve us. Those persons are known as bona fide spiritual masters. Those persons are known as Vaishnavas, the devotees of Allah. They want to give us the actual knowledge how to be happy. So if we will take help from the Vaishnavas, if we will take help from Guru, then we can achieve all happiness. What is required to do that? The Vedic injunction is Tamasi Ma Jyotirgama. Do not remain in the darkness, come to the light. In other words, darkness is misery. And light is happiness. But amongst the cheaters who are getting a so-called happiness by cheating us, they prefer the darkness. It's like the thieves. When do they like to do their thieving activity? They prefer the night time for thievery. Because under the cover of darkness, they can do their business more easily. So those who are trying to cheat us with false knowledge, you see, their program is to keep us in the darkness of ignorance. Because in that way they can more easily exploit us. But our true well-wishers, the Vaishnavas, they want to bring us out of the darkness into the light. Because there can be no illusion where there is light. Godhead is light and nescience is darkness. Godhead is light and nescience. Nescience means a lack of silence, ignorance. Godhead is light and ignorance is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there is no ignorance. There is no darkness. So by taking the guidance from these great personalities who are speaking to us in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, by great personalities, I'm talking about the greatest personality, Lord Sri Krishna, and the great acharyas. By taking the guidance of Krishna and these great acharyas, then we are getting clear light how to escape from this darkness of ignorance. Mahajano yena gata sapantha. One should follow the pathway that these great acharyas have blazed through the darkness of ignorance. If you are lost in the wilderness, what will you do? You're running out of food, you're running out of money. Running out of food, running out of water, yeah. Of course, money is useless in the wilderness. You won't find any vending machines in the wilderness or fast food outlets. So if you're in the wilderness and you have no food, you have no water, how will you survive? Especially in a desert region where there's no vegetation and no water, how will you survive? You have to find your way out of the desert into the civilization. Only then will you be safe. As long as you remain wandering in the desert, it's simply a matter of time before you drop dead. So if you find someone who says, I know the way back to the civilization, you follow me and we'll go there right now. Wouldn't that be the intelligent thing to do? To take advantage of that person who knows the way back to the civilization? Would it be intelligent to proudly say, no, thank you, I am great, I will find my way on my own? Would that be intelligent? No, that'd be a stupid thing to do. Here's a person who's willing to lead you out of the wilderness. back to the civilization, where you can get all facilities to be comfortable and happy. Remaining in the desert is certain death. So why, out of pride, one would not take the guidance how to get back to the civilization? This is not very proper thinking, you see. So the spiritual master, he has come to us in this wilderness of material existence. And he is showing us the way how to get out of this problem that we're in. What is our problem? We're stuck in the cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease. Sometimes we're a demigod. Sometimes we're a germ. Sometimes we're a caterpillar. Caterpillar. But turns into a butterfly. Sometimes we're a worm. Sometimes we're a human being. Sometimes we're a wealthy man. Sometimes we're a leper with all of his fingers rotted off. We've been through every situation. We've all been beautiful women, ugly women, good-looking men, ugly men. We've been through it all. Fat, skinny, thin. We've been through every kind of body. We've been Brahma. We've been everything in this material world. But have we ever gotten any happiness here? Krishna confirms in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, Bhagavad Gita, text number 16, Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartinarjana mamupechita konteya punarjanmana vidyate. He confirms in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text 16, 8:16, that from the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. So why should we strive so seriously for anything in this world? Now, it's not wrong to make some arrangement for your economic necessities. I'm not saying that. Sometimes we advise our disciples to find a good job, to get a good job somewhere, you see. Because as long as you have a body, you need to have some maintenance. But this is always a secondary consideration. The first consideration is to awaken our dormant Krishna consciousness. Because even if you're the wealthiest person in this material world, if you have not awakened your dormant Krishna consciousness, then you are nowhere. And even if you have no success in this material world, if you have awakened your Krishna consciousness, you have attained the supreme perfection. And for such a person, all of his material necessities are provided by Krishna anyway. So the most important thing is to awaken your Krishna consciousness. But along with that, especially those who are householders, who have a family to maintain, who have a household to maintain, they have to be well employed, gainfully employed. But we have to always remember our prime duty is to become Krishna conscious. These other activities are always secondary. Just like I've many times given the example, if you're cooking a feast for Krishna, and you have rice and you have pakoras, which preparation will you put on the front burner and which will you put on the back burner? Will you put the rice on the front burner and the pakoras on the back burner? Will you put the rice on the front burner and the pakoras on the back burner? Or will you put the pakoras on the front burner and the rice on the back burner? Which is it? Who says put the rice on the front burner and who says put the pakoras on the front burner? Pakoras on the front burner, raise your hand. Okay. All right. Pakoras on the... That's right. Why do you put the pakoras on the front burner? Because pakoras take more attention. A little attention, they burn. They get ruined, you see. The rice doesn't take so much attention. You just put it the proper amount of water, the proper amount, the proper temperature, and put the lid on, just let it sit there. So you're Krishna consciousness, that is pakoras. And your material maintenance, that's the rice. So you do both things. But you give more importance, more emphasis to your Krishna consciousness. It's not that you neglect your material maintenance. You've got that rice cooking on the back burner the whole time you're cooking the pakoras. You're doing both things simultaneously. But your focus is on those pakoras. Because you want them to be first class for Nittai Gaurachandra. So in this way, we should prioritize our Krishna consciousness. The first thing you do when you get up in the morning, Hare Krishna. When you're brushing your teeth, Hare Krishna. If you're shaving your face, Hare Krishna. If you're combing your hair, Hare Krishna. Combing your hair, like the women comb their hair. See? Hare Krishna. When you're putting on your dhoti or your sari, Hare Krishna. Are your normal clothes for going to work? Hare Krishna. When you get behind your car or get on the bus, Hare Krishna. In other words, always chanting Hare Krishna. Now, sometimes people say, well, why you should chant 16 rounds? It's actually described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that those devotees who are prema ruruksu, who are desiring to enter into the realm of Krishna prema, they should chant 3 times 64 rounds every day. They should chant 192 rounds every day. Those who are serious for achieving Krishna prema, they should chant 192 rounds every day. Now, I ran the mathematics on this one. If you chant a round in 7.5 minutes, okay? And you do 192 times 7.5 minutes. Comes out to 24 hours. It would take you 24 hours to finish your rounds at 7.5 minutes a round. That means you don't have any time to eat. Don't have any time to sleep. Don't have any time to earn a livelihood. You don't even have time to go to the toilet. So we say, well, what if I speed up my rounds and I chant them in 5 minutes? You know, speed up my job a bit. I get a round done in 5 minutes. Then I calculated it'll take 16 hours to get your rounds done. Which leaves me 8 hours. Then I have to sleep. I have to earn my livelihood. I have to eat. I have to go and I have to commute. So can you do all that in 8 hours? How much rest do you need? You see, maybe if somebody didn't require sleep, then yeah, it's and they could get, you know, they're able to work part-time job like 6 hours a day. And they didn't require sleep. Then they could do 192 rounds every day, 5 minutes per round. But is that practical? We have to earn our livings. We have to get out there on the commute, getting to work and getting home from work. We have to wash the dishes. We have to cook. We have to clean. So many things. There, but still it is stated by Srinivasacharya, Shankya Purvaka Nama Gati, that there must be numerical strength to chanting. You must count your chanting. That is stated by Srinivasacharya. Therefore, Prabhupada has very mercifully given us that we can chant at least 16 rounds every day. Which is practical. You can chant 16 rounds in 1.5 to 2 hours every day. And you still have time to eat. You still have time to sleep. You still have time to earn a living, to cook and wash the dishes and all those other things we have to do. So, even though we may not be able to chant 192 rounds, if we can follow Srila Prabhupada's instruction and chant at least 16 rounds every day, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we can be perfectly fixed in Krishna consciousness and we can enter into the realm of Krishna prema within this very lifetime. Therefore, we encourage everyone to begin chanting at some point. Whatever you can do, 1 round, 2 rounds, 4 rounds. And gradually, your enthusiasm for chanting will increase. You'll get so much nectar from chanting, you'll naturally want to chant more. And you come to the point where you'll chant 16 rounds every day. At least. How many people, when they started chanting japa, began with 16 rounds the first day? I see one hand here, one hand here. And who else started 16 rounds in the very first day? You did? Mataji did? Haribal Ananda did? Very good. I also did. I chanted with 16 the first day. So whether you start with 16 the first day, you get to 16 the second day. However long it takes you to get to 16. It's a very important number because that was the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. So by serving the order of the spiritual master, then we get the blessings of the spiritual master to advance nicely in Krishna consciousness. So we encourage everyone to take up chanting on the beads and to build up their numerical strength to at least 16 rounds daily. In this way, one becomes very solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. In this way, all the suffering, all the misery goes away. One becomes fully happy in Krishna consciousness. And no anxiety can ever disturb your mind in any situation. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Yeah. Laziness, from where it is coming and how to fight with this.
What is it?
Laziness.
Laziness, it is called tama guna, the mode of ignorance. The way to combat tamaguna is very simple. Just like an airline pilot, when he's flying the airplane through the sky, if he hits some turbulence, he just takes the airplane to a higher elevation, higher altitude. So, if you encounter ignorance, the mode of ignorance or laziness in your practice of Krishna consciousness, it means you simply have to elevate your consciousness to a higher altitude. You have to go deeper into Krishna's holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Go deeper into the name. By going deeper into the name, this will take you to a higher altitude of Krishna, spiritual elevation. Beyond the influence of ignorance. Plus, there's another tip I can give you. I asked the same exact question many years ago at one class. And one of my godbrothers, he answered the question very nicely. I said, how can we overcome laziness? Now I can tell you honestly, I was afraid that he would answer me by hard work. Because a lazy person, he doesn't like to work hard, see? So I was really scared he would say by hard work. But I wanted to hear what he was going to say. Because I knew that this laziness is a big, big problem. See? So how to overcome it? And his answer was so sweet, it was so wonderful. It was perfect. He gave two words only. He said, by love. That's a very, those two words, it's such a deep answer actually. He simply said, by love. So what does that mean? That means if you love someone, there's no question of laziness. You ever seen a mother who is lazy in taking care of her little baby? Because of loving affection, she's working 24 hours a day to serve that baby.
You see?
Or when a boy falls in love with a girl, you see? He's doing everything so that pleases his girlfriend. It's no question of laziness. Where there is a feeling of love, there's no question of laziness. So the easy way to overcome laziness in Krishna consciousness is try to develop your love for Krishna, your love for Guru, your love for the devotees. So how do you develop that love? That is given by Rupa Goswami. That you give gifts to the devotees. You give service to the devotees. You serve prasadam to the devotees. You reveal your heart to the devotees. You open your heart so they can reveal their hearts to you. When they give you service, they give you gifts, they give you prasadam, you accept it joyfully. In this way, by these loving exchanges, you develop feelings of love for the Guru, feelings of love for Vaishnavas, and feelings of love for Krishna. And when that love is there, there's no question of laziness. You won't even want to sleep anymore. You'll be so enlivened to give loving service to Vaishnavas, to Guru and Krishna, that sleep will just become like a botheration. Prabhupada had so much love for his spiritual master, he only slept 3.5 hours a day. He would go to bed at 10 o'clock at night and get up at midnight and do his translation work. And he would take an hour and a half nap after lunch, and that was it. Because he loved his guru. Because he loved his spiritual master. Because he wanted to push forward this Krishna consciousness movement to please Guru and Krishna. So love is actually the best answer of all. I love. Next question. What if I have nobody I can give my love to? Well, can I just love myself? But I can tell you that just loving yourself is not very satisfying. That's why we see that people who live alone, don't have any friends or family, what do? They get a dog. Nobody likes to be alone. You need to have someone, you need to find someone you can give your love to. Love means two, a reciprocation between me and you, you see. You have to find somebody you can give your love to. Who can reciprocate your love with you. In this world, we give our love in so many places, but we get cheated again and again. I give my love to a girlfriend, and then she rejects me. You see, I give my love to this person or that person, but they cheat me. So we're frustrated in this world to give our love. But there's one place we can give our love and not be cheated. That is giving our love to the person from whom love itself originates, from whom love comes. That person, you see. If we can love that person who is the source of love itself, he has an unlimited stock of love to give us. He has an unlimited reservoir of love. So if we can give our love to that person who is the reservoir of unlimited love, then we will find satisfaction. So who is that person? Krishna. And Krishna's representatives. Guru. Vaishnavas. You see, we can give our love to Krishna through them. In fact, Krishna says, yeme bhakta jana parata na me bhaktashtate janaha mad bhaktanam che ye bhaktas te me bhakta tamamata. He says, you want to love me? I don't accept your love. But if you will love my devotee, then I will accept that you love me. If you don't love my devotee, you don't love me. But if you love my devotee, then you love me. That's what Krishna told Arjuna. So that's the easy way, you see, because Krishna is very far away. He's in his spiritual world having pastimes of Radharani and the gopis. So how I can develop a personal loving relationship with him? He's so far away. But the spiritual master is present. The Vaishnavas are present. We can develop loving relationship with Guru. We can develop loving relationship with Vaishnavas. Just like Kedaranath. You see, we can have loving relationship. Or Harikatha Prabhu. By a loving service, working and pleasing these senior devotees. You see, we can develop loving relationship. And then Krishna will very much appreciate, oh, this devotee, he loves my devotees. So in this way, Krishna says, all right, now I accept that you love me and I will love you back. Next question. Yeah. All right. No, your turn, yeah.
You mentioned that you started chanting 16 rounds. So who encouraged you to do this? Do you feel...
That's an order of Prabhupada. Prabhupada is the founder of our movement. You know who is Srila Prabhupada?
Yeah.
He gave an actually, when he first came to start our movement back in 1966 in New York, he told... Actually, in 65, I think, he told the devotees... Back in the early days of our movement, he said, everyone should chant at least 64 rounds every day. That's 8 hours of chanting. And the devotee said, Prabhupada, we can't do this. It was not practical for us. We just can't do it. He said, okay, then chant 32 rounds every day. And they said, Prabhupada, that's still too much. They said, Swamiji, that's still too much. We cannot chant 32 rounds. He said, all right, 16. But no less than that. So this number was chosen by Srila Prabhupada as a concession for us who are so much entangled in ordinary worldly activities. As a concession for us who are so much absorbed in ordinary worldly activities. Even devotees living in the ashram, they have so many duties of cleaning, distributing books, offering artis. Even for them, it's hard to do more than 16. So this is a special number that comes by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And we love that number. Sometimes they say sweet 16. So for us, that number 16 is very sweet. That every day I must do at least 16 rounds. It's a very wonderful number for us, 16. We love that number 16 that Prabhupada gave.
But did you do as a duty or you feel great pleasure by doing this?
Actually, the devotee does it with great pleasure. But sometimes, because in the beginning we are still learning how to always keep the mood of devotion. Sometimes we do it out of duty also. It's just like if you're taking medicine. There's a very good example given. In India, there is a disease that often people get called jaundice. For one who has jaundice, the cure is to take sugar candy. But if you have jaundice, sugar candy tastes bitter, it doesn't taste sweet. So the doctor orders him, you must take sugar candy every day. It tastes so bitter, you just want to spit it out, you see, horrible. But he takes that sugar as medicine. In that way, as he recovers from the jaundice, the sugar regains its natural sweetness. So the chanting is actually very sweet. It's the most happy, wonderful thing you could ever do. But because we're suffering in the disease of material consciousness, sometimes the chanting may seem bitter to us. But we do it anyway on the order of the spiritual master. Because in this way it regains its natural sweetness. But I can give you an insider's secret. For someone who's in the right mood of devotion, it is always sweeter than the sweetest honey. In fact, there is so much nectar in one utterance of Krishna. There's so much honey in those two syllables. There's so much honey in that two syllables, Krishna. You couldn't get a honey jar big enough to hold all that honey. Even if you had a honey jar as big as the Atlantic Ocean, or even if you had a honey jar as big as the Pacific Ocean, or even if you had a honey jar as big as the entire universe, it would not be big enough to contain the amount of honey which is there in the utterance of Krishna. But the difficulty is, you see, sometimes the neophyte chanter, the beginner, instead of sticking his tongue in the jar, he tries to taste the honey by licking the outside of the jar. And that's when we don't taste the nectar of the name. We chant, try to lick the outside of the jar. But if you will take off that lid of that jar and you'll stick your tongue down in that jar, you're going to taste the sweetest nectar every time you chant your japa. The trouble is our mind, you see, our materialistic mind. Our mind has doubts. It couldn't be that sweet. So when we think like that, then we're putting the lid back on the jar, tightening the lid back on the jar, see? If we think, yeah, it's not possible the name could be that sweet, then we're putting the lid back on the jar of honey. We're closing the jar. But if you always have your faith in the name, see, then you always keep that lid put far away. Actually, just take that lid and get rid of it. That's called the lid of doubt. Take that lid of doubt and just throw it away. Get rid of it, you see. Because then every time you want to taste the nectar, you just got to stick your tongue in that bottle of honey. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But what if that lid gets in the way? And you have doubts. And it's not tasting sweet. Should you stop chanting? No. Then, when that happens, chant out of duty. Because by that chanting out of duty, that will get rid of that lid of doubt. You may wake up some morning and say, I don't feel like chanting, I just want to sleep. You have doubts, so I don't think the name could be that sweet. But you think, but my guru ordered me, I have to chant. So I'm going to do it out of duty. As soon as you surrender to that order of the guru to chant out of duty, magic happens. The sweetness comes back immediately. So it's just like a, you know, you ever gone to the circus? Gone to the circus? You know what the circus is? You ever seen the tightrope walker? And yeah. So, You see that you have a net underneath the tightrope? In case he falls off, so it doesn't kill him. Yeah. So, when you're chanting Hare Krishna with love, you're up there on the tightrope, perfectly balanced, you see. When you're chanting Hare Krishna with love, you're on that tightrope, working with perfect balance. What happens if you lose your spiritual balance and the name doesn't, you don't taste the nectar of the name? Then the net is there to catch you. The net is chanting out of duty, see? Because by chanting out of duty, and then you can get back up on the rope again and chant out of love. But if you say, well, I'm either going to chant out of love or I'm not going to chant at all, that's like walking on the tightrope without a net. If you make one slip, then you're dead. So chanting out of duty is the net. It allows you to go back to chanting out of love if you slip. So chanting out of love is the best. That's the goal. That's the proper mood. But even if you slip from that consciousness, if you will chant out of duty, then from there you can go back to the love again. I think that answers your question. That's the mercy of the super soul. I never heard that example. The super soul gave it to me. So our time has run out now. Is there anybody who has an urgent need to ask a question? I can squeeze one more in. Anybody has an urgent burning desire to ask a question right now? If not, tonight we're going back to Vilnius. What time is the lecture there?
6:30.
It's 6:30 in Vilnius. We'll be having a very special lecture revealing the innermost secrets of bhakti. So everyone is invited to come to Vilnius tonight for the lecture. Is there a van being organized again? If you don't have your own transportation, talk to Sankirtan Das. There's a van being arranged so you can get a lift to Vilnius. So we thank you all very much for participating in this program of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I can guarantee you, everyone who has come to this program this morning, Prabhupada has blessed you by your presence here. Srila Prabhupada is seeing how you're present, even those who are behind the corner over there. Prabhupada is seeing everyone's presence in this room, in both of these rooms, and he is blessing all of you on your pathway back to home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.